This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Busy, busy, busy week thus far in our nation's capital. Was discussing this earlier today, man, and we'll do it here in the opening segment. What a time it is to be a DC sports fan. Right now, if you look at the four major professional sports teams here in this town, and I'm even going to throw in the Mystics and the Spirit, just because of the recent success that those teams have had. You look at the current state of DC sports after this bonkers weekend, and then last night it felt like the high continued with Alex Ovechkin netting goals number 856 and 857. To me, right now, and me being a 26-year-old, I probably have a different vantage point than a lot of you all out there. The peak of my DC sports fandom in terms of when all four major professional teams were good, I look at that era from 2014 to 2018, right? Nats were spending money big in free agency, advancing through postseason series. It was the peak of the Rock the Red era for the Caps. Washington was relevant because of who they had under center at quarterback. Kirk Cousins brought them back to relevancy. Alex Smith, before he broke his leg, brought them back to relevancy. It was the peak of John Wall and Bradley Beal. It feels like right now, and I know the Maryland Miracle, right, as I'm calling it, has a lot to do with this feeling. It feels like right now, I don't know if y'all know, man, or if anybody told y'all, we're so back. Last night, Caps, massive win over the Rangers, 5-3. And I'll say this about last night's dub for the Caps. It felt like over the weekend when they got blanked by Tampa Bay. And I know it's a great Tampa Bay team. Some folks, myself included, may have thought, wow, had the other shoe finally dropped offensively for the Caps? Because they've been red hot out of the chutes here. They got blanked over the weekend by Tampa Bay. And then last night, 5-3 win, and it was a historic 5-3 win. Alex Ovechkin moving closer to catching Wayne Gretzky, scored career goals number 856 and 857, less than 2 minutes apart.
Back along the near board. Up now to Ovechkin. And brought down the wing, back to Wade. He shoots, he scores! Alex Ovechkin from the slot, kept it low on Igor Shesterkin. 16:37 to go. It's 1-0, Washington. Here's a puck turned over. Protas in front, and he scores. It's Ovechkin off the faceoff. Protas feeds it across. It's a multi-goal game for the Great Eight. 5:10 into the game. It's 2-1, Washington.
And big shout out to my guy, John Walton, man. Getting us, first of all, for being in the booth. And then the call that he delivered last night, it's been a treat. To hear him all year long to this point. Caps, 6-2 start, playing as good as anybody right now in the Eastern Conference. And it's going to be exciting to continue to see this group flourish and grow. Alex Ovechkin, think about this. Alex Ovechkin and his greatness, obviously a national story, right? Because clearly, as the chase continues, as he gets closer and closer to Wayne Gretzky, to me, that's a national story. And then with Jaden Daniels, the Hail Maryland Noah's Ark, I've heard it called. The way that he is playing right now, the quarterback position is also a national story. And I was saying it to our super producer, Vic, earlier, man. I said, Commanders, relevant, and have an elite guy under center. And that is a national story. Caps off to a red-hot start after a super active offseason as Alex Ovechkin continues to chase Wayne Gretzky. They're off to a hot start. Nats have a super exciting offseason coming up. But then there is the Washington Wizards. And we go out live right now to Cap One Arena. We find our pal Chase Hughes. Chase, Wizards looking to make it two in a row tonight. No Kyle Kuzma as he deals with the groin injury. Any update for us as to who replaces him in the starting lineup?
Yeah, so Keyshawn George is getting the call.
Wow.
So the Wizards are going to be starting all three of their rookies tonight, plus Bilal Coulibaly, who is 20 years old. He's still the age of a rookie, obviously, in the beginning of his second season. And then Jordan Poole at point guard, who's 25. So this is the youngest starting lineup on record in Wizards franchise history.
Wow.
And the rookies, of course, Alex Saar, second overall pick, Bob Carrington, the 14th pick, and Keyshawn George was the 24th pick. So three guys from the top 24 picks in this draft all playing tonight in the starting lineup.
Chase, obviously the other night in Atlanta was a movie, as the kids like to say. Wizards seeing some shots fall. The defensive intensity and effort, in my opinion, ratcheted up as a result of that shot making. How paramount is it for them to try and duplicate that performance tonight? Even if you don't make as many shots, the effort that they showed defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they can expect to make that many shots.
Right.
They made 21 threes the other night, which tied a franchise record. And Kyle Kuzma accounted for a good portion of those. But the defensive effort, that is what I'm going to be watching really all season, but especially in this game, because
Bilal
Coulibaly really had a breakthrough defensive performance against Trae Young. He held him to 0-for-7 from the field, forced 5 turnovers in their individual matchups. But, you know, Trae Young was coming off of a back-to-back, and he played Oklahoma City. They've got a really tough defensive backcourt. So now he's going up against an all-star player, an all-NBA player for the second time in 3 days. Can he have the same success? I think it'll be a good test for him, you know, as he remains early in his career. He's trying to become an elite defender. We've seen all the tools. Certainly we saw it that night. But, you know, Trae Young's a tough guy. Can he stop him twice?
For casual Wizards fans out there, Chase, tell us a little bit more about Keyshawn George and why Brian Keefe and company are so comfortable putting him in this starting lineup in relief of Kyle Kuzma tonight.
Yeah, so Keyshawn George played high school ball in France and was signed to the University of Miami by Jim Larranaga when he was about 6'5" as a combo guard. He grew 3 extra inches in that offseason, showed up at Miami, and shot over 40% from 3 and became a first-round draft pick essentially overnight. No one expected him to be in that position. And he's continued to surprise along the way because he came into the Wizards program, had a terrific summer league where he shot the ball really efficiently, and then he was the surprise of the preseason, in my opinion. I knew Alex Saar would be getting minutes early on. I knew Bob Carrington would be in the rotation. I don't think most people expected that Keyshawn George would be not only getting rotation minutes, but starting tonight. But he played so well in the preseason, continued to shoot efficiently. He's just a really smart player. He's a 6'8" guard slash wing who can not only shoot, but he can make plays off the dribble, and he's a good passer. And the Wizards have been really impressed with his basketball IQ and how he always makes the right play. You'll be, you know, watching him make the extra pass tonight and also playing very disruptive defense. He had a game in the preseason where he had 7 deflections, which was twice as many as Alex Caruso averaged last year when he led the league in that category.
Yeah, Wizards getting defensive. It's one of the blueprints moving forward for this unit. Vol Dawkins and company have things their way. The head of the snake with this group, Jordan Poole, shooting the cover off the basketball to start the year, Chase, doing, you know, historic things from beyond the arc relative to this franchise. But I want to focus on his defense as well. What have you noticed from JP on that end of the floor? And do you think it's something he can hopefully maintain over an 82-game stretch?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, he leads the team in deflections. He's averaging, I think, 3 steals a game. He's up near the top of the
league. Leads the league,
Chase.
Category.
Yeah, he leads the league in steals. And, you know, what stands out to me about that is that the Wizards, you know, they're still not performing very well overall defensively. They're 29th in the league in defensive rating. But they have more pieces now, and they have more size on the perimeter. It's not just the rim protection. They have more size at guard. So I was watching to see this season, how does Jordan Poole and some other guys who we've seen struggle defensively, how do they fare when they're asked to do less, when they're asked to cover less ground? And so far, so good for Jordan Poole. And that's just the defensive end. Offensively, he's been shooting the cover off the ball, as you mentioned. And what stands out to me about that is we saw last year how much better he was when they changed his role at the end of the year. He went through a little bit of adversity early in the season when he was playing off the ball, and then he was playing on the ball. He was much better. Well, things have also changed this year. They kind of have him in the same role down the stretch last year, but they're not using a traditional primary point guard. And also, he did it last game against Dyson Daniels, who I think is going to make many all-defensive teams throughout his career. And Jordan Poole stared down, who I think is one of the best young defenders in the league, and had a monster game.
It was big. Chase, we'll let you go on this, my friend. With the Maryland miracle that happened over the weekend, right? Ovi scores two more goals last night.
You got to trademark that, man.
The Maryland miracle?
Yeah.
Ovi scoring two more goals last night as he continues his chase towards the great Wayne Gretzky. Wizards obviously in rebuild mode, but a lot of key pieces moving forward. And then the Nats are expected to have a pretty active offseason as they continue to push toward the National League playoff picture. How would you rank the current state of DC sports, Chase?
Well, I mean, it's hard to rank anything above Jaden Daniels and the Commanders after what we saw on Sunday. I mean, as someone who has watched every game that they played for, you know, as long as I can remember, since the mid-90s, that was about as great as anything I've ever seen. And obviously Ovechkin, I mean, you gotta give him his due deference. So that's, I think, the top two. And then the Nats and the Wizards, I think, are both sort of showing promise throughout rebuilds. I think the Nats got better last year, even though they ended up with the same record. Obviously, James Wood was very impressive. And it's so early for the Wizards this season that we'll have to see how they fare. But, you know, certainly Bub Carrington, Alex Starr, and Keyshawn George have shown some signs. So, you know, let's check back mid-season and see where they're at, because, you know, with these young guys, they're so young when they come into the NBA, especially younger than any of these other leagues, right? 18 years old as Bub Carrington was when he was drafted. It's really hard to project the future. You kind of have to wait and see. But, you know, so far, so good. So we'll see where they can take it.
We'll continue to check in with you all season long, my friend. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network, live out at Capital One Arena as the Wizards get geared up to take on the Atlanta Hawks for the second time in 3 days. We'll keep you up to speed on that all night long. Number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. J.P. Finley going to join us top of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we will switch gears to those Washington Commanders. Giants week coming up. This Commanders team 6-2 and ranked favorably on both sides of the football. When we come back, I'll tell you my biggest concern for both the offense and the defense. That's next here on The Fan. Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to Tech Talk Live. Coming up about 1 hour from now, the pal J.P. Finley, one half of B. Mitch and Finley, which you can hear each and every day, 10 to 2, right here on The Fan. J.P. going to join us. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold. We'll get into the burgundy and gold right now, because I don't know about you all, and I feel like I've said this pretty much every damn week this season. Now, the Ravens game, obviously, right? You don't feel great about that. No moral victories here. But you felt good coming out of that one. Tampa, didn't really feel great coming out of Tampa. Jaden ran all over South Florida, so you felt good about that. But, like, man, Maryland miracle happens. A Hail Mary that even the most faithful couldn't believe happened. And I'll be real with you, right? We do Burgundy and Gold Endgame Live each and every Sunday right here on The Fan. The only live interactive show during the Commanders games around the DMV. It is a can't-miss destination. Myself, Denton Day, it's great. But, man, doing that show over the years, yeah, I know what the Mortician era was like. When I say the Mortician era, understand I'm talking about none other than Ronald Eugene Rivera. The Mortician era doing that show was miserable. Now, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, you're getting paid to watch your favorite team. But damn, right? The misery the lack of emotion that you can't show sometimes on the show, because I violate all types of FCC rules. It's been miserable doing that show for the most part, man. There's been some key moments, right? When we beat the Eagles on, what was that, Monday Night Football? That was my birthday. I was cool. But other than that, man, not a lot of signature moments during that show. Sunday, for as great as that moment was for all of us as a fan base, doing the show and getting our live reactions captured, it was honestly the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. And I am just so, so thankful that this group this year has given us a product worth rooting for. And obviously, we're going to root for them every damn year. I say it all the time. Even when Dan Snyder was the owner of this group. Yeah, our moral beliefs don't align, but I am an addict for Washington football. I'm wearing the damn patch right now. There is nothing that would get me to not watch this group. They affect my day-to-day emotions. Now, some may say, oh, you're crazy as hell. What do you mean they affect your day-to-day emotions? You don't care. If they don't impact your day-to-day emotions, you don't care enough. That's how I look at it. Ever since I was little, this was my pride and joy. So a moment like Sunday for me, it was, if you were watching the stream, it was hard for me to even put it into words how I felt. But about 72 hours after the fact, I'm here to tell you all, man, it was the greatest moment of my Commanders fandom. Now, I watched them clinch the playoff game, clinch the division years ago back in Philly. You know, I've watched the playoff clinching win against Dallas. And I understand those games in terms of what it meant to that season. Those set of circumstances were greater. There was more on the line. But the moment, man, the moment Sunday, and then going back and watching the TV copy, the moment Sunday, man, I still, 72 hours later, can't put it into words. Now, I want to toot my own horn here. Toot, toot. Leading up to that final play, I looked over to my right. It was Toby Altizer sitting in place of Denton Day last weekend. I said, Toby, as long as Jayden Daniels is under center, we got a shot. Mind you, this was before they threw the 10-yard out that led up to the Hail Mary or the Maryland Miracle, right? I said it, man. I said, as long as Jayden's under center, we got a shot. If I'm thinking that, if this big tub of goo behind the mic is thinking that, can you imagine how the guys that go to war with this dude every day feel about what he's doing? I'm telling you now, you can say that, hey, we don't want to give one guy all the credit. The hell with that. The hell with that. You can say that you don't want to give one guy all the credit. Let's make no mistake about it. This team is 6-2 right now, heading into a huge NFC showdown on Sunday against New York. They would not, for my money, they wouldn't have a damn win if it wasn't for Jayden Daniels. The trickle-down effect of this young man is, I don't think it can be measured. The confidence that he gives those guys, I don't think can be measured. But as we take a look at this thing, right, we want to keep the main thing. I'm not going to keep reminiscing on Sunday. It was great. I may fall asleep to the damn game every night leading up to this week, but I'm not talking about it on the air. Giants coming into town, we're on the road going to New York to take on the Giants. And I didn't even think about that aspect of it. That damn turf. If we get out to a lead against New York, I need all starters benched. Because I can't even risk it. I can't. I cannot risk it on their terrible-ass turf. But in reality, right, big-time divisional matchup coming up this week. You're 6-2. You got the chance to go to 7-2. I believe it'd be the first time since 96. I wasn't even alive. Hell, I probably wouldn't even thought about at that point. The opportunity to go 7-2. I say it, man. Every time I wake up, every day I wake up, the breakfast tastes better, right? The showers hit harder. The liquor goes down smoother. It's a good time to be alive rooting for this group. But as we get geared up for Sunday and we start to distance ourselves from the Maryland Miracle that happened this past weekend, let's get into the nitty-gritty of this. Let's look at this for what it really is. You had a game on Sunday against the Giants that you must win. Let's call it what it is. I'm done with the days of, oh, the game doesn't matter. They're a bad team. If you are who you say you are, not only do you beat the Giants Sunday, you dog walk them up and down the field. Now, I do want to put some context behind it because I do understand the difficulties of playing divisional matchups. I get it. It's a group that's seen you already this year. And let's keep a spade here, right? Last time Washington played New York, dating back to week two, now granted, it's week two, that offense struggled mightily in the red zone. Ironic, they struggled mightily in the red zone this past Sunday. So I say all that to say this, do not let your mistakes of the past ruin your future. And I'll tell you all right now, Vic came in the studio tonight, and we're going to get to it a little bit later on, and he said, Liddell, if we don't make the playoffs this year, is the season a failure? That's where we are right now. We are 6-2. I can't get it out any more direct than that. And I said it during the pregame show Sunday, getting you all warmed up for this bad boy. If with Washington's win Sunday, and Vic, we disagree about this, with Washington's win Sunday, it was their first win over an opponent with a record of 500 or better. And I said in the pregame, what Washington was lacking to me through 7 weeks was that signature victory. And obviously, the Maryland Miracle makes it that just because it's a big moment. But I think the way that they played against a team that was rolling in Chicago, offensively the past couple of weeks, they have been a juggernaut. Defensively, we know the talent they have at all three levels. I viewed Sunday's win against Chicago as a signature victory. But some may argue, right, Vic, you can make the argument. Some may argue, well, yeah, they won. It was a team over 500, but. So as we move into this week against the Giants, I don't think it's an opportunity for them to get a signature win, but it's an opportunity for them to stay the course. Show us that we're right in what we believe. Can I tell you what I believe? I believe right now the Washington Commanders are one of the top 6 or 7 teams in the National Football League, and I think they've got a legitimate shot at punching their ticket to the conference championship game. That's where I think this group is right now. When we look at the upper echelon of the NFC, it's Green Bay, it's Detroit, it's Philadelphia. How many teams do you rattle off before you get some respect to the burgundy and gold? How many teams do you rattle off in the NFC before you go, I got to talk about Washington too? Because I tell you what, Jordan Love and the Packers, more power to them. I know he's a little nicked up, but what the Packers have going on, in my opinion, I mean, they are, in my opinion, the class of this conference along with Detroit. I think that a team like Seattle, too many injuries, too inconsistent a play. It's not their year, right? I look at a team like Minnesota. They start off 5-0 with a flavor of the week and have now lost back-to-back games in the same fashion. There is a clear weakness with the Vikings. You can run the football against that team. The Rams did it, and the week before that, I almost just forgot who they played. And the week before that, the Lions did it. So, clearly, there are some flaws within the Minnesota Vikings. So, I ask the question again. When we look at the state of the NFC, how many teams are you rattling off before you get to Washington? Detroit, for me, it's Detroit. It's Green Bay, it's Philly, then it's Washington. That's how I look at it. But Washington, massive opportunity this Sunday to move to 7-2 for the first time since 1996. They're ranked pretty favorably on both sides of the football. I'll give you some of the numbers coming up next, and then we'll ask the question. What is your biggest concern on each side of the football for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Numbers on the offense and defense coming up next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. It's the YIC. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to Tech Talk Live. We'll keep you up to speed all night long on Wizards and the Hawks. Wizards looking to make it two straight victories. Good start tonight, man. Washington up 14-7, about halfway through the opening quarter. Obviously, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we got to hear from our pal Chase Hughes. No Kyle Kuzma tonight as he deals with a groin injury. Keyshawn George replaces him in the starting lineup. Wizards' average age tonight of their starting lineup, 20 and a half years old. Bilal Coulibaly starting tonight. Bob Carrington starting tonight. Keyshawn George, as well as Alex Starr, the number two overall pick. So a really good look tonight at what the future could be for the Washington Wizards. We'll keep you up to speed on that score as the night rolls on here tonight. Right now, I want to talk all things burgundy and gold. Massive game coming up Sunday. 6-2. What a time to be alive, right? If you are a fan, an addict like I am, right, of the burgundy and gold. What a time to be alive. An opportunity to move to 7-2 on Sunday against the New York Giants. But as we look at this group, talking about the Washington Commanders, statistically speaking, when you look up at the numbers, they're actually playing quite well on both sides of the football. Now, I know what the story was. If you listened on Overtime last week, and I see all your tweets when you all tweet at me during the game, see, Linnell, I told you Chicago's offense wasn't that good. I see, Linnell, I told you. I don't care. Keep tweeting. Keep engaging. But in reality, right, I think heading into last week, the big concern for a lot of us was defensively for Washington. How would they fare against an offense, right? Bilal shooting a cover off the ball, by the way. I hate that I'm stopping and interrupting to talk Wizards, but this is exciting. That kid, if that kid figures out how to consistently shoot the ball, he's already shown how good he is defensively. Yeah, Wizards are turnt right now. This is amazing to watch. But as I sidetracked myself, but no, like defensively, what they did Sunday, and there's a breakdown. I'll retweet it out. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. There's a breakdown by Dan Orlovsky of NFL Live. There is a breakdown of this Commanders defense that they did on NFL Live earlier today. And Orlovsky gave so much credit to the coaching staff of the Wizards, playing with the detail that they play with. Playing on a string when pre-snap motion comes. Communicating. All of the things that, quite frankly, we knew this group could do. We knew this group could do that. It was about seeing it against an actual good opponent. And I think Chicago, right? Chicago is that good opponent, in my opinion. Like, to me, what they did against Chicago is impressive, right? Because of who they have on the perimeter. Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift. It honestly did not feel like those guys were even out there. What Washington did defensively was impressive. Now, I know there were some breakdowns at the end of the game, but when you look at Washington by the numbers, because I'm a numbers guy. Let's go by the numbers. The Commanders, right? All of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th in the National Football League in terms of points per game allowed for a group that gave up the most passing touchdowns in league history a season ago. For them, midway through the year, to be ranked 10th in points, it's a hell of a sign. It is a hell of a sign. But the question, I think, remains still. Are these defensive numbers a result of playing bad opponents? I don't know. You gotta roll with the punches here. But the numbers continue to show you that, hey, man, this group ain't as bad as maybe we made it seem like. The one thing I give them credit for is running and hitting at a consistent clip over the past month plus. What they have done defensively from a mentality standpoint, and Joe Witt stole all of our hearts in his opening press conference here in D.C., he said, we're going to arrive violently. The way we play is not for everybody. And I'll be real, it's not for everybody. You know who it's not for? It's not for Emmanuel Forbes. He does not represent and embody the physicality that that group wants to play with defensively. It is why you've seen his snaps get reduced at the rate that it has. It's nothing personal. Argue with somebody you love, not me. He does not fit what this team wants to do defensively. He doesn't. He doesn't. And kudos to Dan Quinn and company. I don't care if you're a first-round pick. If you don't fit, you don't fit. Same thing goes with Jamin Davis. They can give a rat's ass about your draft status. It's about how you arrive on Sundays. And it's about how you handle your business Wednesday through Saturday. Point blank. And I love it. It took some time, right? But it feels like defensively now, everyone is bought in. And to me, that's all you could ask for. It's all you could ask for. They're playing hard. I had questions earlier this year about this Commanders defense and whether or not they were playing hard, whether or not they could tackle. Now, obviously, that was just a byproduct of it being early on in the season. But now we're starting to see things take a turn for them on the defensive side of the football. When I read the numbers, it don't even make sense. Washington is 6th in the National Football League in opponent passing yards per game. This defense that has Benjamin St. Juice starting as an outside corner is 6th in the NFL in points per game allowed. So don't say this group's not improving. And I've been as critical of this defense as anybody. They're damn sure improving. Rushing yards per game allowed. Well, Washington's still near the bottom in that category. And to me, that is where I have my biggest concern, I would say, with Washington, is their run defense. But you can't be perfect. But clearly, if anyone that's watched this team, you understand how much they have improved defensively over the season, as the season's progressed here. Do you have a major concern about this defense still, though? I gave you the rushing yards number. They're 25th in the NFL in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. Like that, to me, that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow, and it ultimately can come back and bite them in their behind as the season rolls on here and you play some better offenses. But I think the defense has improved. They look like a top half of the league unit. Offensively, we know the numbers on offense. And even after a down performance offensively like Sunday, they're still 3rd in the NFL in points per game. Right? They're still, 3rd in the NFL in touchdowns scored. In terms of yards per game, they're 3rd. Yards per play, 3rd. They're the top 5 offense by every metric. By every metric. Now, the red zone struggles, they're real, and we'll discuss those as the show rolls on here as well. But in reality, this team's 6-2. They've got the Giants coming to town, and they're ranked favorably on both sides of the football. What is your biggest concern for the Commanders' offense and the Commanders' defense? 1-800-636-1067. I got Captain Todd. We'll let you get in before we hit a timeout. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, Linnell. What's going on, man?
What's going on,
bro? As I always say, it's always good to be on with the original, the one and only, except no substitutes, youngest in charge movement.
I appreciate you, man.
There's only one of you. Hey, so I'm actually in Bethesda right now. I'm visiting my mom.
Okay. I hope that's going well for you, brother. I know we've been checking periodically.
Man. No, I appreciate it, buddy. So I went down to my dad's favorite bar in Bethesda, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching SportsCenter, and what are they talking about? They're talking about the Commanders' defense. Dan Orlovsky had the Commanders as a top five defense in the last 4 weeks, weeks 4 to 8, top five, held Caleb and the Bears to a NFL low 145 yards. This defense, they turned it around, man.
They have.
They figured it out. I know, you know, we still talk about should we get a pass rusher or should we get a corner. I'm not sure if we want to mess with what's going on right now. You know, Dan Quinn's got something good going, as he always does. It takes a little time. New coach, new players, all that.
Yeah.
But they look good. They spent a little bit of time talking about Jaden and his ribs. And by the way, Jaden is still the number three overall quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know how many categories, dude. I mean, I'm not used to going to these places in D.C., in the D.C. area, mm-hmm. and looking up at the TV and seeing my team up there talked about in a positive light. You know, I'm used to seeing my team up there, but it's usually like, oh, they give up 45 on Monday night to the Eagles, or
right.
they give up 35 or
this
whatever.
It's different.
Very different. Your question was about concerns. You know,
if you had one for the offense, one for the defense.
The rushing defense really scares me, man, especially with Saquon Barkley coming to town in a little while. You know, that guys like him really scare me. I mean, even this kid in New York, man, the Giants, I think they found someone in Tracy.
Yeah, he looked good, man.
He looked good, man. I'm a little worried about it. Offense, I don't know, man. Yeah, red zone.
Yeah.
But red zone, that was a problem last week, but it wasn't a problem for 3 or 4 weeks before that.
And that's why it's interesting that you brought that up, Todd. We're up against the break, buddy. I appreciate you as always, my man. Todd brings up an interesting point. He says the red zone offense, 1-800-636-1067. The Washington Commanders, 6-2, going and seeing the Giants coming up on Sunday. You have the opportunity to move to 7-2. Hadn't happened since 1996. They are ranked favorably on both sides of the football. It's a top 10 defense in terms of points per game. They're a top 5 offense in every major statistical category. All that being said, what is your biggest concern, one on offense, one on defense, for the Washington Commanders? I'll answer that, plus take more of your calls next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BCP. Wednesday night edition of Overtime, Wizards basketball on tap. Definitely will make sure we keep you up to speed with that. End of the first quarter, Wizards down one, 34-33 at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks, but it has been a tremendous start for second-year Wizard Bilal Coulibaly, leading all Wizards is going in that first quarter. He's got 11 to go along with 4 rebounds. To see his offensive game continue to take shape and improve, to me, it's super fun to watch, especially when you consider where this team is right now. We know defensively what he can do. I mean, just lockdown defense Monday night against Trae Young in that game in Atlanta, and you saw right there that, hey, you know, this is why they drafted this young man. They think he's got the goods to be able to go out and guard the opposing team's best player night in and night out. He's doing it again tonight, but giving you some more offense. Trae Young, by the way, not going to keep him cold too long. 14 points in the opening quarter. He's got 4 helpers as well. I'll keep you up to speed on the Wizards as we continue to roll throughout the show here tonight. Phone line's open, though. 1-800-636-1067. Gave you some numbers on this Commanders defense that honestly keep saying it, knocked my damn socks off. They are 10th in the National Football League in terms of points per game allowed. When it comes to passing defense, they're 6th in the NFL in terms of passing yards allowed per contest. This is the Washington Commanders we're talking about, people. A group that Vegas set their over-under at 6.5 damn wins to start the year. We were having conversations about, well, who are we going to pick at the top of the draft? We're going to go with a corner or an offensive tackle. That is the conversations we had this offseason. That is where things stood not too long ago. Then all of a sudden, we're right in the thick of it. But see, I told you all, and I don't like to do pat my back radio. It's not what I'm here for. But damn it, I got to see this kid every day for a month straight out at training camp. Making throw, big time throw after big time throw after big time throw. So much so to the point where I wondered, you know, as good as he's been throwing the football, can he run it? We don't ever see him run it. Oh, psh, don't worry, Linnell. I'll go run for 88 yards and lead all rookies in rushing through the first 8 weeks of the season. Don't worry. I'll do that for you to calm your nerves down. Thank you, Jaden. But in all reality, man, this team's got a shot against anybody as long as he's under center. But when you get into the nitty-gritty of this and you look at Washington statistically on both sides of the football, you can't help but think about, well, they haven't really beat anybody yet. And I called Sunday against Chicago a signature win. But in reality, it was just your first win over a team with a record above 500. So, yeah, you're on the cusp of being 7-2. But when you really do an examination, a thorough evaluation of what you are, I think the jury is still out. I do. And I know that's going to make some people upset. What do you mean the jury's still out? Here's what I mean by that. I would say this confidently. They're on that fringe of playoff lock and title contender. I think they're walking that line. And if this defense is going to continue to play at the level that they've been playing at over the past month plus, then I think it pushes you closer toward that legit title contender conversation. That's just what it is. I'll say this, though. If we're talking about biggest concerns on each side of the football, I think on offense, a lot of you are screaming red zone, red zone, red zone, red zone. I don't get that, guys. When we talk about this offense in the red zone, I don't understand. They've got the 5th most red zone touchdowns all year long. They've got the 5th most red zone touchdowns all year long. They've scored 18 touchdowns in the red area this year. They have. But I think what comes to mind for everybody, what's on the front of everyone's mind, is that week 2 matchup at home against the Giants, and then last week against Chicago, where you struggled. That is what is on the front of folks' mind when they say, well, red zone offense is the number one problem for this offense. I don't think that's the case. I think the number one issue for the Commanders offensively, right? And I don't know how to put this. It's execution. But see, that's from players and coaches. If you watch this team and look at it detailed and comb through it with a fine-tooth comb offensively, there is something that has stuck out in every game this year about this offense. And it's going to come back and bite them in the ass. Hopefully it doesn't, but it seems like it's going to. It almost did Sunday. When you are having to burn timeouts because you can't get the proper personnel on the field, when you're in those two-minute situations, you don't have your full arsenal of timeouts. Therefore, your full menu of plays are not at your disposal. And it almost hurt this group Sunday because they had to take a timeout in that second half because they couldn't get the play onto the field, the right personnel, rather, onto the field. And to me, it's something that's going to get cleaned up as the season progresses. It's not every week. Maybe I hyperbolized it. There's some weeks, it may be every week, though. There's some weeks where it sticks out more than others. But one thing I always laugh at each and every week, we love our guy Jayden Daniels, right? First guy in, last guy to leave. Man, he was letting Cliff Kingsbury have it on Sunday. Cliff, get the damn play in. Give me the play call. And I get it. I get that frustration, right? I get that frustration. If you are Jayden Daniels, give me the play so we can go execute. So we don't have to run a timeout. So I can have an opportunity to survey the defense. Like, that stuff matters. That stuff matters. So if I look at the number one issue of the Commanders offensively, I think it's self-inflicted wounds. It's not that anyone's doing anything to stop this group. They're stopping themselves. When you commit some of the boneheaded penalties, I don't want to call them all boneheaded. Let me stop. Maybe hyperbolizing it. But I look at it like, man, it's every week it feels like. And I know this past week we had the illegal man downfield. We had a false start. So there were some penalties that impacted this. But I just got to look at it objectively. And I know red zone is what's on the front of everyone's mind, and I get that because of what happened Sunday. But if you're really watching this thing, their red zone issues are a byproduct of them shooting themselves in the foot every chance they get. And God forbid I say something negative about a group that's on the cusp of being 7-2. If we're really, let me just say this about us as a fan base. The real contenders in the league, you go listen to sports talk radio in Kansas City right now. They're 7-0, yet they've still got numerous of complaints about what that group is and is not doing. So for as comfortable as we have been being the bottom feeders of the National Football League, you got to wake up and smell the coffee and understand, hey, look, even when the prosperity comes, it's not perfect. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Commanders on both sides of the football rank favorably. 10th in points per game allowed. 6th in passing yards allowed. Top 5 in pretty much every major statistical category offensively. When you look at this team at 6-2 atop the NFC East, what is your biggest concern on each side of the football? I gave you mine on offense. Let's go out to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. Bird is out in Ashburn. What's going on, Bird, man?
Owens. Yeah, I was just calling. What I said to the producer, you hit it the nail right on the head. Execution with regards to the offensive line. I mean, even a yard down the field. I mean, it's so far away from the play. It's maddening and it's frustrating because it changes the whole dynamic of the game. If we had scored right there, that could open up the floodgates. And week two, don't get me started on that with the false starts and the combination of those false starts that kind of spiral downhill that got us out of a game rhythm, not even a drive, a game rhythm of being able to put games away. And I'll sit back and listen to you.
Yeah, Bert, I appreciate you as always, my brother. Look, I it's real. I'm gonna tell it how it is. You know, 7 days out of the week, twice on Sundays. Their offensive issues are self-inflicted. I still don't believe there is a defense in the National Football League that can consistently stop this team. The only guys that have stopped the Commanders this year offensively have been the Commanders. That's it. That's the reality of the situation. The Commanders have been the Commanders' worst enemy this year offensively. Now, it's easy to nitpick, in my opinion, at a group that's top five in the NFL. I think it's easier, and I know that goes against conventional wisdom, for a group that does so much so well, it's easy to point out their flaw because it's glaring. It's glaring. It's obvious. Now, I gave you, right? I gave you my number one concern offensively. My number one concern defensively, I'd have to look at the rush defense. They're 25th in the National Football League in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. 25th. That ain't good. And you look at the teams, you look at the teams that are behind them, none of them are in the postseason. Arizona, New York, New Orleans, Seattle, Indy, Dallas, Carolina. See, I'll say it all the time. Stats, you need to provide context. I get that. But with the rushing yards allowed per game stat, you find me over the past 20 years a postseason team that finishes in the bottom four of this major statistical category. It don't happen. Teams that can't stop the run can't win. Point blank, period. So that's my number one concern for Washington defensively. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders on the brink of starting 7-2. Top five offense, top half of the league group defensively in terms of their rating. Despite those numbers, what is the biggest concern for you on each side of the football? Vince is in McLean. What's up, Vince?
Hey, how you doing? I want to definitely answer your question. I just want to say real quick, I've got a 14-year-old son who's all he's known his whole life is, you know, Commanders/Redskins, and he's never known what it's like to be having a winning franchise, so it's been a lot of fun to be with him to see this happen. So,
yes, indeed, brother. I'm the same way, man. I'm 26. I haven't seen nothing either.
Yeah, so good things are happening. To answer your question, though, real quick, number one, on the offensive side of the ball, look, the offense is playing great. But I do think we are lacking a big receiver. I mean, big as in physical. You know, guy can get up 6'4", 6'5", in the red zone when nothing else counts except to throw it up and let him go get it. McLaurin's been great, no doubt. But we don't have a big physical receiver who can go get the ball there. And I think that'll be helpful when you go up against some good defenses.
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the ball, you know, our defense is certainly playing better. I think obviously stopping the rush is key, and we got to get better. But part of that is I think the way they've schemed up the defense, we're so vulnerable on the secondary part of the defensive side of the ball that we're shading out toward the quarterbacks and the safeties because we don't have a shutdown corner. And if we can get some sort of, you know, shutdown corner where we don't have to worry about pulling some of the linebackers back because we're concerned about some of the short pass plays, we can shore that up. We'll have a little more to put in the box to go after the run. But right now I would say that secondary it needs some help, whether at quarterback or another safety back there. And I'll stop and listen to what you have to say.
Vince, I appreciate you as always, my brother, man. Tell a little man, look, the fight continues, baby. I'm all for adding members to the Youngest in Charge movement. Anybody out there that is 35 and young, I'll go 30 and young. I don't want to go too high up now. Anybody that's 30 and younger, man, y'all know who y'all are part of, man. Y'all part of this Youngest in Charge movement. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see some of the reactions of kids, young adults, to the prosperity that this team's had. I say it all the time, man. I'm 26 years old. I'm a graduate of Magruder High School in Montgomery County, Maryland. It was the worst coming in on Mondays during the football season. Everybody's ragging on you. Your team's terrible. My best friend's an Eagles fan. Like, guys my age, I feel like we're few and far between. We're like dinosaurs. It's hard to find young Commander fans because what the hell has there been to root for? So it's awesome to see you guys, one, coming back in droves, the older fan base, and then two, influencing your kids, your nephews, your grandkids, all of that, and rooting for the burgundy and gold. 7 o'clock hour in the books. We'll get you an update on the Washington Wizards on the other side of this break. Plus, we'll continue a Washington Commanders talk about J.P. Finley, one half of B. Mitch and Finley, which you can hear each and every day right here on the Fan 10-2. He joins us next. We'll ask him the same question. Biggest concern for the Commanders offensively and defensively. That's next when J.P. Finley joins us here on the Fan.